The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, the announcement by the Cabinet yesterday to set up this big commission of inquiry in relation to historical sex abuse in day and boarding schools, both religious and non-religious, had the usual kind of time on the sort of plinth of government buildings and the Minister for Education and they all feeling better about themselves. Stalled the ball a second here. Like, I remember in the 1990s, we had the Ferns Diocesan Report. We had the Ryan Report. Before that, we've had a series of commissions and reports. And actually, we don't need another report taking 5 years and costing tens of millions to tell us what happened. We know there were predatory people who abused their position, both clerical teaching and other people. It was outrageous. And it's very simple. We need to cut to the chase, convictions and compensation. And instead of another 5 years, because we've already had a 700-page scoping report by Senior Counsel Mary O'Toole. Look, and this all started with Willow Park and BlackRock. And you know what? I'd say it's endemic across the country. We know that Ireland has a dark and destructive past. But I'd be much more impressed, instead of kicking the can down for the next government in 5 years' time to deal with it, if you just actually introduce something like the Criminal Assets Bureau to sequester the assets of the offending religious authorities and actually had a proper counselling and redress scheme for people. Like, actually, we know what happened. We don't need another commission report. Tell me your views on it. Text us on the WhatsApp line or 53106. Now, there were two sets of talks between Bibi and Donald, the Israeli PM and the president, yesterday in the White House. The second one unscheduled. And the general idea is, according to their...
Is your little one starting big school this September? At Dunn Stores, we've got you covered for those memorable milestones. From waving goodbye at the gate to snapping that first proud photo in their new uniform. Feel confident as they take their next big step with quality schoolwear. Pick up a three-pack of Playproof polos from €5. Pair these with Easy Care joggers also from €5, plus a comfy sweatshirt from €3.75. Shop back to school in-store and online now. Dunn Stores. Always better value. Terms and conditions apply.
Envoy, Trump's envoy in the Middle East, Steve Witkoff, that the number of issues in terms of obtaining a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel has been reduced from 4 to 1. Well, to find out, are we on an irreversible momentum towards a ceasefire? And what would it look like for the Palestinian people? It's a pleasure to welcome, as always, Professor Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. How are you, Paul?
I'm fine, thanks. There's an awful lot going on, and it's pretty difficult to tease it out.
It is.
It really is.
And
yes.
So first of all, what are the four issues reduced to one? I mean, troops out, food aid, hostage exchange. What's the content here?
Well, the content seems to be that there's some progress has been made. The Trump people, particularly Witkoff, are given the impression that's just one thing to go. When you listen to what is coming out of Doha, basically the Qatar people who are acting as mediators, they're a lot more cautious. And they say that we're not there yet and there's quite a lot more to discuss. And I think that's the reality. Just what, 36 hours ago, Trump was saying we're almost there. He's still more or less saying that, but there are still problems. And I think the fundamental issue is that it's about this business about whether any kind of pause is irreversible and whether it will mean that anything the Israelis do in terms of withdrawing troops stays. And the blunt truth is that Hamas, and I suspect most Palestinians, do not believe the Israelis. Whether they're right or wrong is neither here nor there. The point is they don't believe them. And they believe that once virtually all the hostages have been released, essentially they will be at the mercy of whatever Israel chooses to do. And they base that on what Israel is already doing. So it's quite a big problem that we have. And I don't think personally, for what it's worth, we are very close to a ceasefire, which in any way will last. There's a further issue here, I think, which perhaps we're not realizing, is that Hamas seems to be much more entrenched than was expected. It has not been defeated. Last week, the Israeli Defense Forces lost 5 of its people in an ambush, and the 5 more were killed yesterday and 14 injured in another ambush. So essentially, Hamas is still there, and the Israelis, frankly, are not going to withdraw anything like completely as long as that exists. So I think we have quite a long way to go. That being said, there's an awful lot going on, and the most astonishing thing in many ways is the kind of statement coming out of Israel Katz, who is the Israeli defense minister, and he's basically saying that what he is ordering the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, to do is to set up what amounts to a kind of internment camp, which initially is going to hold 400,000 people in the southern part of Gaza, really in and around the ruins of the city of Rafah. And that will form a long-term process of getting Palestinians out of Gaza. Where they will go is a completely different matter, but that seems to be what is now the aim. And ultimately, this will be an internment camp. Some people are using the term a concentration camp, which technically is correct. It's concentrating people, a dodgy term to use because of the history going back to the Nazi period. Be that as it may, it seems to be that the Israelis are proceeding with the idea of, to the greatest extent possible, clearing all Palestinians out of Gaza and putting it down to Jewish settlement. Whether that can go anywhere in the distance, who knows? But that seems to be the intention of the current government, given the way in which you have pretty far-right elements, I'd have to say extreme elements, who really hold the balance of power. So a long answer, but essentially I wish it was other, but I don't think we're very close to anything like a permanent ceasefire in Gaza.
Paul, that is fascinating. Just to... because I want to talk about the food aid thing, which is really imminent in terms of saving lives and so on, the 4 feeding stations. But I was reading about this plan by Israel Katz, the defense minister. And what it talks about is, and I need you to explain this to me, is to move 600,000 people, Palestinians, into the south to create a new city and to create a sterile zone between them and maybe the more Hamas strong area in the north. Just like it sounds, quite, frankly, quite ridiculous. And you know, I could see how the Palestinians, like, that isn't a two-state situation. That is actually just a militarized zone that they could control to corral people into. Have I got that right or not?
I think you're broadly right, yes. I mean, you have those 4, quote, feeding stations. Palestinians just call them the American stations. Although the Israelis are involved, it's essentially an American initiative by a private country supported by the American and Israeli governments, and essentially with its own private security force. Now, that has been operating for some time now, but if you look at what has happened in the last 5 weeks or so, in that time, within Gaza, there have been 640 Palestinians killed and 4,500 wounded, with repeated firings against people looking for food. The IDF seems to treat any male, certainly, of a certain age, as automatically a Hamas operative. They're very free with what they're doing. Very good indication of the situation is that the Red Cross, the International Committee of the Red Cross, runs a 60-bed field hospital down in the southern part of Gaza. It's one of several field hospitals run by external agencies, with some difficulty getting supplies and the rest. That one hospital has dealt with 2,200 weapons-related wounds in the past 5 weeks, and 200 people have actually died in the hospital. They haven't been possible to be saved. That's the reality of what is happening at the moment, and it's something which doesn't get through into the general press by and large. What that means for the future is, I think you're right in that the plan seems to be get as many people into this zone as possible, and mainly by having any food available in that zone, so that people really haven't got much option but to do it. And once they're there, they cannot get out. It is an internment centre, a detention centre, if you like. They would only get out if some arrangement could be found of getting them out of Gaza and of Israel and the occupied territories as well. In other words, abroad. But the problem with that is that most Arab countries are just not prepared to do that. The Egyptians hate the idea of having well, ultimately 2 million Palestinians in Egypt, and some countries, obviously Lebanon to an extent, and certainly Jordan, have already taken loads of Palestinians in. So essentially, the idea that you can just clear this territory and put it over to Jewish settlement seems still to be the aim of large sectors of the government, not necessarily of all Israelis, but certainly some sections of Israel. That seems to be the intention which is still there. And that just does not fit with the idea of a sort of any kind of peaceful settlement in the short term. But that, I'm afraid, is where we are at the moment.
You see, I mean, like, where I think the Israelis have lost the argument, if you say, look, Hamas are a military subversive organization, they're terrorists and all of that, you might say, okay, well, you have a point on that, October 7 and so on. But if you want to reconfigure a state of 2 million people into an enclave of 600,000 people, which is a glorified prison, I mean, that disrespects any sense of individual state autonomy. And it's nothing to do with Hamas. It's the way you treat Palestinian people. And I'm really surprised that the Americans have bought into this, and if they have. And secondly, that the international community are so mute on it.
That is the astonishing thing. I think that's, but that is not the feelings of the sort of the general public. I mean, polls in Britain show a lot of antipathy to what is going on. But the British government just does not want to have this as a major issue. We're getting very large protests, you know, very frequent. There have been something like 30 mass protests in Britain over the last, 20 months or so. And that is continuing and just won't go away. But in fact, we have a major problem in that the government seems to be very cautious about even wanting to allow these demonstrations to take place. It can't stop them. But you're seeing, for example, one particular group, which certainly involves in direct action against Israeli companies, which has basically been now ratified as a potentially terrorist organization. That's an organization, Palestine Action, which is concerned with non-violent direct action. Maybe violent against property, it's not violent against people. And essentially now, it's actually a crime to actually support such a group and to promote it. So we're in a position in Britain in particular where the government may say pretty strong things about what Israel is doing, but there's very little evidence of it doing anything on the ground. And meanwhile, it is supporting Israel in many different ways, including the ability to actually sell weapons through to Israel from companies operating in Britain. So again, I'm rambling a bit, but the problem is that is indicative of a difference between how governments are operating, governments such as Britain, I think the United States as well, and how ordinary people think. In the United States, there's a lot more support for Israel, although that tends to come more from Christian Zionists rather than the Jewish community, which, as you know, in the United States, in many political senses, is pretty liberal. In some European countries, though, you do see the government really out of kilter with the mood of the people, and that is certainly true in Britain now. So
the other thing I just wanted to ask you about, is it included in the talks to look at the feeding situation in terms of the humanitarian needs of water and food? So we had on this program last week where this GHF, the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation or whatever it is, in relation to the Israeli IDF solution, they reduced the number of feeding stations from 400 to 4. There have been, you know, really crazy situations of open fire on people desperately trying to get food. And these UNICEF and 170 different NGOs said, look, whatever about the politics or the military situation, we need to restore an NGO-led feeding situation. Is there any element of that being discussed?
I've not heard of any element, and I think it's something that Mr. Netanyahu wouldn't want to touch with a barge pole. I think that gets too close to the mark of what's actually going on. This is part of the wider issue that obviously the Israeli government, the present government, which is a far-right government, has a particular view. It may not be representative of all Israeli Jews by a very long stretch. But so many of them just want this to end and almost end anyway. And in fact, some polling shows that there's quite a large proportion of Israelis who actually support the idea of clearing Gaza completely of the Palestinians. Okay. And that really is a very daunting thing. It may not be a majority, but it's certainly a large minority as far as the polling shows.
Paul Rogers, as always, from Bradford University, thank you indeed for that analysis.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.